We might call the lesson this morning Tennessee Volunteers. And if I were to mention that, you might think I was talking about the football team in Knoxville, but after last night, we don't want to discuss that. You might think I was talking about the motto, or I suppose nickname, that has been given to the state in which we reside. We've been known for years as the Volunteer State because of the way in which so many of our people have volunteered in the past, in some in specific situations. But that's not what I have in mind. I want us to talk this morning about volunteers in the church as Christians, in our relationship to Christ, and in our relationships that we have with one another. We live in Tennessee, so in that sense, we might refer to ourselves as Tennessee Volunteers. A bulletin article that I received a few days ago prompted this lesson, although I had been considering some of the thoughts in it to be presented even before reading the article. The article had to do with personal dress and appearance. And there was one statement that caught my attention. It had to do with the idea that if we are the kind of people that we ought to be, and especially if we are Christian people, we ought to dress appropriately and be concerned about our personal appearance voluntarily. That word voluntarily especially stuck out. You know, we have a tendency sometimes to do that which is right when we are forced. Or maybe we do that which is right because we have been greatly persuaded. But we ought to do that which is right voluntarily. In the passage that was read by Brother Lewis earlier in our service, he read a statement included in that from Jeremiah, where Jeremiah said, in essence, I just cannot keep from doing that which is right. Jeremiah had just said, because of a moment of discouragement, that I'm not going to preach God's word anymore. And then he said, but you know, it just burns within me. My heart burns with the message of God, and I just cannot stay. I just cannot keep from preaching the word of God. He was doing it voluntarily, because he really wanted to. In Psalm 39, verse 3, the psalmist says almost the same thing. He says, my heart just burned within me. In other words, it caused him to want to do what should be done voluntarily. In Job 38, in verse 12, Job said, I was constrained. My heart constrained me. It's interesting that Paul, over in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 5:14, said, the love of Christ constraineth us. Wasn't he saying there that I'm doing what I'm doing that's right because of the love of Christ? I am constrained, not forced, not just persuaded by someone else, but I am constrained to do that which I'm doing because of the love of Christ. In Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 20, Peter and John were told not to speak anymore in the name of Christ. And they said, we just can't do it that way. We've got to speak what we know we need to speak. They were doing what they were doing voluntarily. Is it possible, folks, that we have allowed ourselves in most areas of thought relative to Christianity to have to be forced, to do what is right, or at least greatly persuaded by others to do what is right? Should we not, on the other hand, have the attitude that is expressed to some extent in Romans 10:1 when Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved." Notice especially those first few words, "my heart's desire." It's in my heart. It's what I want to do. And I want to see Israel saved. I want what is right because it's in my heart. We're taught that we're to do as we are determined or decreed in the heart. 1 Corinthians 7:37. And it's interesting that Romans 6:17 states that we're even to obey from the heart. In other words, that our obedience to God is not really true obedience if it's just out of being forced or overly persuaded, but that it must come from the heart. We need to learn to do what is right voluntarily. Volunteering means that which is done, made, or given freely without expectation of compensation. Or, as is stated by another, relating to or controlled by the will. And one of the synonyms that is listed is the word willingly. When I read that, I think of 2 Corinthians 8:12. If there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. A willing mind. That verse indicates that God is more concerned about the attitude of each of us than he is the amount that is involved in what we might be giving or what we might be doing. That as long as we are being ourselves and using that which we have, doing that which we can do, with a willing mind, that it is accepted in the sight of God. Seven verses earlier there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says they first gave themselves to the Lord. Does not that suggest the idea of volunteering, doing what is right voluntarily? They first gave themselves to the Lord. And then around that attitude fitted in everything that had to do with the details of daily living. Think with me for a few minutes in three or four different areas of thought as we think about being volunteers and doing what is right voluntarily. Since the article that prompted this lesson had to do with dress and personal appearance, let us consider that for a moment. Perhaps there is not a one of you in the audience this morning, but who could quote at least part of 1 Timothy 2:9, especially talking about women, but with a principle that applies to all of us, giving the admonition that one should adorn oneself in modest apparel. And it's interesting that he adds, with shamefacedness and sobriety. There is concern about modest apparel in our time, and usually our concern about it is slanted in one direction. I really think that many times we've allowed ourselves to think that the only way we can dress immodestly is for something to be too short or too tight. But that's not really what is involved in the immediate passage here and is not necessarily what the writer had in mind in 1 Timothy 2. It's apparent when we study the context and the times that he probably was talking about overdress. In other words, being gaudy, as you and I might use the word. Being slouchy with plenty of clothes on, but being slouchy to the extent that one calls attention to oneself. I think the best definition I've ever heard of modest apparel is that one is dressed in such a way that when that person leaves, you do not really remember what they had on. If there is too little, you will remember it. If there is too much, you will remember it. If it is unusual, you will remember it. If it is quite different from that which is normally worn in the setting at that time, you will remember it. And in many instances, we'll remember the apparel and the appearance more than you remember the person and the personality that was involved. I find myself concerned personally. I believe others share with me in this concern about the evident lack of concern that some people have about their dress and appearance in coming to worship. I have been amazed in the last few years to see what some people will wear to the worship service. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know, as you do, that God looks on the inside, not the outside. Although I'm convinced that that passage is really saying God looks not only on the outside, but also more especially on the inside. But it bothers me to see people during the day in their work dressed in a very neat and dignified way, and then a few hours later see them come to church in what seems to be the worst outfit that they have at home. I would not judge one's heart in any way. And I recognize here again that we can overdress. I certainly would not suggest that we start wearing tuxedos. But folks, I think it is time that we all began to stop and take inventory of ourselves, not to the extent that I tell you what to wear and you tell me what to wear. I don't think we need a dress code. I think we just need to get to the point that we think about ourselves and be concerned about what other people may think, the influence that we will have on others, and leaving the right impression as far as Christianity is concerned. And we ought to do that voluntarily, without anybody else having to suggest what we do. Let's switch to another area of thought entirely in an entirely different line of thought, and that has to do with keeping our promises. In Ecclesiastes 5:4-5, the wise man talks about vows, and he says, when thou vowest a vow, keep it. And then he said in the next verse that it's better not to make a promise than it is to promise and not keep it. And he has an interesting statement that God looks at a person like that as a fool, that it is foolish to make a promise and not keep it. I'm persuaded that most of the time when we do not keep our promises, we do not intend to break them. Sometimes we forget. But perhaps we need to put more thought to this, and especially voluntarily. I cannot remember a week in recent times, but that something was said or indicated about keys that have been picked up at the office and not brought back, doors that were not locked back after being unlocked, items that were borrowed from the church building to be used that could not be found, lights that were turned on that were not turned off. I jokingly said the other day that we are a two-letter congregation. We can read on, but we can't read off. You know, things like that ought not to have to be mentioned among people who are adults, who have intelligence, and who know what is right. We ought to keep our promises voluntarily. We ought to think about what we are doing, think about our responsibilities, not just relative to the church, at school, on the job, in the community, in our families. Especially as parents, sometimes we make promises to our sons and daughters and then do not keep them. None of this ought to be done out of force. It needs to be done voluntarily. Think about dignity in relationships, and perhaps some of this is restating what we made in some of the points we made in the first area of the lesson. But dignity in relationships. I'll guarantee you there's not a person in this audience this morning who's a Christian, but who knows that it's important to let Christ be seen in each personal life. Who knows that tomorrow, as each one of us goes to the job or to school or wherever we are, that we have a responsibility, but more than that, an opportunity to let Christ be seen in us. When we're baptized into Christ, we put him on, Galatians 3:27, which means we are to wear him. And the Bible indicates very clearly that we're to be concerned about our behavior. You'll know how to behave yourself in the house of God, and that's not talking about the church building, that's talking about as being a Christian, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Rather lengthy discussion, again given to women, but applying to all of us in 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4, that we should not let our adorning be the outward adorning, but the inward adorning of the heart. In other words, the personality, the life being seen so that Christ can be seen in us. And one of the best statements along this line, as far as I'm concerned, is Acts 4:13. They noted that Peter and John had been with Jesus. When they heard what they said and saw what they did, they concluded they had been with Jesus. When you and I leave this building today and go out into the community, we're going out as ambassadors for Christ. We're going out to represent Christ. And we may be, as you've heard so many times, the only gospel that some people will read. And we ought to do what is right and live the right kind of life and let Christ be seen in us voluntarily. The elders have a great responsibility to oversee our souls, but they do not need to be and cannot be out in the community watching you and me every hour of the day to see how we live and what we do. We ought to do that voluntarily. As a preacher of the gospel, I have a responsibility to teach the word and to do everything that I can to encourage all of us to do what God has said. But still, each one of us needs to have dignity in relationships and the right kind of example in life voluntarily, because it just burns within us to do what is right, and we are constrained by the love of Jesus Christ to do what is right. Another area where this line of thought maybe needs to be pursued is the area of using our talents for the Lord. That would include the giving of our means, but more than that, the using of our own abilities to serve the Lord. It has been a bit discouraging to me, particularly in this specific congregation, to realize how difficult it is sometimes to get people to teach Bible classes. I've never been associated with a group of people that had more teachers in the congregation than Henderson. And yet sometimes our supervisors have difficulty finding people who are willing to teach our children, our teenagers, our classes. On Monday morning through Friday morning, scores of our members go into the classroom, and in my opinion, we have some of the best teachers anywhere on the campus across the street and in our local schools. Then on Sunday morning, sometimes have difficulty finding people who are willing, who will volunteer, if you please, to be a teacher in the classroom with talents galore, talents that are used daily, but they do not want to use them in the Bible class. Folks, that is a shame. I have difficulty understanding. I don't mind telling you, I have difficulty understanding how someone with the ability is willing to use that ability 5 days a week and not willing to voluntarily use it in the Lord's kingdom. Many a time down through the years, I've had a man say to me, "Oh, I can't get up before the congregation and lead a prayer or read scripture or say anything." And then a few days later, I'm at a civic organization and he's the president of it. Or he is speaking to that group. Folks, I think it's time for us to reassess our attitudes toward life and especially our attitudes toward God. We are to purpose in the heart to give. And again, we are to give willingly. And we're to give ourselves to the Lord. What we need in the work of the church is volunteers. There are many of you that do a good job in volunteering for many things in the work of the church. And I know that God is pleased and we ought to be appreciative of one another in those areas. But perhaps there are some areas where all of us need to back up just a bit and take a long look at self and ask the question, am I really willing to volunteer in living the Christian life and in serving the Lord? We need to be like Jeremiah. It just burns within my heart. I really didn't want to do it, but I can't keep from doing it because it burns within my heart. When you and I get to the point that the concept of Christianity and living it burns within our hearts, to where we are constrained by the love of Christ to do what is right, we'll be ready to voluntarily be concerned about how we appear, the influence that we have, and the activity that we have in the Lord's service. And I'm convinced that even as we think about the extending of the Lord's invitation, that this point is involved. I do not want you to confess the name of Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins because you feel like you're forced. I do not want you to come asking for forgiveness and prayer and confessing faults because you're forced. I want you to do it voluntarily. Right now, as together we stand and sing. Yes, and